The Lord of the harvest is calling for laborers true in his field. To gather the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls are the ocean in darkness, are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. You're paid in the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. Let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. And greetings once again to all the saints and friends of the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma. It affords me great pleasure to be back with you again at this time. We also trust that God has been blessing you in all of your needs, both temporal and spiritual. Some thoughts for this message are found in St. Luke chapter 2 and beginning at verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now especially am I interested in this 44th verse. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. I am thinking that too many times we take certain things for granted, and suppose them to be true, which are not true at all. Here Joseph and Mary supposed that Jesus was in the crowd. They did not really know this to be true, but no doubt each one supposed that Jesus was with some other member of the family or company. Have you ever experienced the anguish and pain of looking for your own child in the darkness when they fail to be where you thought they should be at a given time? I have. In fact, a few days ago, this was my experience as I drove up and down the streets near my home looking for my 9 and 10-year-old sons after dark. Fortunately, this does not occur very often, for either Francis or I know where they are most of the time. This particular time, they were safe and well, but the fact remained that we were not sure where they were. Now, in some things of life, this is not so alarming to be uncertain. But when it comes to the most important issue in everyone's life to make your calling and election sure, can you afford to take chances and suppose that God accepts your life because you were christened as a baby by your parents many years ago? Or upon the supposition that you are saved because you shook hands with the preacher or had your name placed upon the church roll? God forbid that any should depend upon such uncertain things as this for their assurance of salvation, supposing that they will be accepted of God. Now let me better illustrate it by this experience of some friends of mine. I would like to put it in my own words, and if I miss some of the exact details, yet it will give you the basic understanding of what this very real experience meant to them. A number of years ago, this young married couple were traveling one night down through Texas. They were in a hurry to reach their destination and were driving in the hours of night. The young man at the wheel, his wife in the back seat, with the baby beside her, both of them supposedly sleeping. Upon reaching a certain service station, the young man brought the car to a stop and entered the station for a few moments. In the meantime, his wife was aroused and thought she would take advantage of the rest stop and left the car also. When the husband returned to the car, unaware that his wife had slipped away for a moment, he again started the engine and proceeded down the highway in the darkness of the night, still anxious to reach their destination. The young mother returned to the scene just in time to see the car pulling away from the service station and heading down the road, and exclaimed to the station attendant, "Why, that's my husband!" But there was nothing she could do to stop him. He was gone. A number of valuable minutes had passed and a good many miles when the officer in the patrol car flashed the red warning light on the young man and again brought him to a stop. Said the officer, "Well, I guess you're the man we're looking for." "Why, I haven't done anything," exclaimed the astonished driver. "Yes, you left your wife back in such a place." "No," he said, "my wife is here in the back seat of the car, sleeping with the baby." About this time, the officer shined his light into the car, and there lay the baby, peacefully sleeping, all alone. From this point, there was just one thing to do. That was to retrace his journey back to the service station and pick up his wife before proceeding on their trip. A good many years have passed since this little incident, but it has left a lasting impression in my memory, which I have never forgotten, and I am sure is not forgotten by these friends. Incidentally, there is a good possibility that they are in tune with this broadcast station and hearing this message. If so, why don't you write me a letter? But now, back to the thought. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and 5th verse, we read about the condition which the Scriptures teach shall be prevalent in the last days. This verse says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Today, to a large extent, conditions exist like this. There are many ceremonies and forms which pretend to bring peace of mind. But only true repentance and deliverance from sin through the blood of Christ can bring the peace and heartfelt satisfaction which God alone can give. But wait just a few moments. At this point, I would like for Patsy to help me out a little. Patsy, Do you have something to contribute to this message today?
Yes, I do, Daddy. I have a reading here about the death of Mrs. Prayer Meeting. We note in the Free Will Echo that Mrs. Prayer Meeting is dead. In the belief that friends of the deceased might be interested, we print the death notice. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worldly Avenue. She was born many years ago in the midst of great revivals and deep spirituality. She grew to be a strong and healthy child, fed mostly on testimony and Bible study. She was educated in the School of Christian Service under the supervision and teaching ability of the famous worldwide teachers, the Holy Spirit and the Divine Scriptures. She soon grew to womanhood and was prominent throughout the world for a number of years and was one of the most influential members of this famous church family. For the last several years, Mrs. Prayer Meeting has been in failing health and gradually wasting away until recently when she was rendered almost helpless by stiffness of the knees, coldness of heart, weakness of purpose, lack of willpower, and inactivity. At the last, she was but a shadow of her former self. Her last words were whispered inquiries concerning the absence of her loved ones, now busy in the markets of trade and places of worldly amusements. Experts, including Dr. Works, Dr. Reform, Dr. Joyner, and Dr. Churchman, all disagreed as to the cause of her fatal illness, administering large doses of organization, socials, contests, and drives, but to no avail. A post-mortem showed a deficiency of spiritual food coupled with a lack of faith and of heartfelt religion. Also, shameless desertion and non-support hastened her death. Only a few were present at her death, sobbing over memories of her past beauty and power. The body rests in the beautiful cemetery of bygone memories awaiting the judgment.
There you have it, friends, a typical example of that which is taking place in the world of religion today. But I do not mean to indicate that this is true with everyone. There are those whose hearts are still aflame with the fervent desire to be a real example of godly living. They have been born again and are filled with the Spirit of God. Is this your condition? Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we pray for those in tune with the mission trail at this time. May their lives be enriched with thy divine presence and their purpose of heart renewed to serve thee faithfully, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, my friends, my time is almost gone, but I do want to tell you that this is the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you have been helped by this message, we would like to hear from you. Or if you would like a typewritten copy of it, you may have one free of charge by asking for message number 2365. Please notice a proper way to write to me. Just address The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. It is not necessary to have any other address. Now, once again, that is The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Be sure to be with us each Friday night. And would you do me a favor? Tell a friend about the time and station. Now, until next Friday, this is Willie Murphy.
And Francis. And Patsy.
Saying, may God bless you wherever you are. Good night.